Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tim.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You were on death's door.
I was.
Close. But you're better.
I'm better.
Yeah, I'm glad because I was, you know, I was a little worried about you.
I was a little worried too because I didn't know what was going on.
Do you take care of yourself, Tim?
I did. I took very good care of myself.
I mean, in general.
Oh, in general, I don't take as good care of myself as I should.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard. It's very hard when you have that business.
Well, that's a whole other thing. I mean, we get so busy.
We do, don't we?
We take better care of our cars and businesses than we take care of our own vehicle.
Unfortunately, I don't even take good care of my vehicle.
No, I mean the vehicle, this body.
Oh, the vehicle.
Our body is a vehicle.
Yes, the body, the vehicle.
Isn't that funny when people take better care of their vehicle than they take care of their real vehicle?
The real vehicle, yeah.
But it's tough, and, you know, now I was watching something that says, oh, now, you know, you can eat all the meat you want. Meat doesn't cause problems. You know, eggs are good. It's like the real biggest problem, sugar.
Sugar. Oh, yes. I know about sugar. I have a friend who feeds himself and his family way too much sugar.
Well, I'm addicted to sugar.
Are you really?
I struggle with it. It is my biggest problem. The problem with sugar is that it doesn't, you know, donuts don't get you put in jail.
Yeah, true.
You know, when I used to drink too much, I had to address it because it was about to get me put in jail.
Right.
Eating too many donuts doesn't. So, but it's my biggest struggle, and I struggle with it especially at night. And if I have one cookie, I can't put them down.
Wow.
And then I'm like, well, I need to, you know, we just mentioned, and you're a big fan of Joe Rogan and Laird. Hamilton was on his podcast last night, and he talks about, you know, the three white devils, sugar, flour, and milk. And I'm like, well, the problem is that what is, like, when you get rid of sugar? I mean, if I got rid of sugar, does that mean there is nothing slightly sweet? I mean, it's all gone? Because I don't know if I could even do that. I mean, I just love, even my coffee has sugar in it.
Yeah, I just cut back. I only eat the sugars that are in cooked meals.
Cooked in meals.
Yes. I don't add sugar to anything.
Well, that makes sense. The problem is that when, like if I, you know, come 9 o'clock. Okay, so I probably saw you a couple weeks ago, and I said, how's it going? You go, you know, you didn't feel good. I go, I got an idea for you. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to save you, Tim.
Oh, I remember that idea.
Actually, introduce yourself. I'm sorry. Who are you?
Oh, I am. You want to know my real name?
I want to know who you are.
All right. My real name is Efthymios L. Kouvas. L stands for Lazarus, which is my father's name. And Efthymios stands for Timothy.
I feel like we just introduced a new person on Game of Thrones.
Yes, Efthymios. It's Greek for Timothy.
I love it.
That's my real name. I am the owner of Louis Pizza in Rehoboth Beach.
And you are actually one of my most favorite people.
Really?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Well, besides the fact of Louis, but I just, you know, I feel like you and I are a lot alike. You know,
we've known each other for a very long time.
We have known each other. I met you and Randy. Is Randy still living with you? I don't know.
No, she just moved out.
Okay.
Lives Randy. Louis now.
So Randy was your girlfriend at the time, and I met you guys when I worked at Shortstop.
Yes.
And we've been friends ever since.
Ever since.
And you're just always that guy. You remind me of myself. You know, I was driving the other day, and I look, and I go, there's Tim. Now, this wasn't the other day. It might have been at the end of summer last year. But you were driving down the highway on that scooter, and on the back of the thing was, like, the PlayStation 4. It's like, you know, it's not precious cargo. It had, like, bungee cords all around the PlayStation 4.
That's me.
And I think it was, like, what game came with that one?
Oh, that one came with probably Destiny, maybe?
Maybe. And it was like...
Or Anthem, I don't remember.
You know, you work hard, you build a business so that you can get basically every gaming system that is available.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Shut that phone off. We're done. Private number. I mean, these people, who do they think they are? So, yeah, you remind me of myself. So, plus I love Louis Pizza. And I just had somebody else on the podcast, and I was like, favorite pizza? And I'm thinking they're going to say, oh, my God, of course, Louis. They didn't say Louis. I think we're going to have – I'm putting it out there. I think Louis is the best pizza in town.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that because, you know, you're sitting in my podcast studio. I really do. I think it's delicious. What do you think – What's your favorite pizza?
It's definitely my pizza, but I eat everybody's pizza.
Well, and I knew your answer would be that, you know, Louis is your favorite, but, you know, Thomas David Salon is my favorite salon, but right. I definitely appreciate all the other ones.
Right.
So who what other pizza do you appreciate?
The other pizza in our area?
Yeah. The competition.
The competition. The other pizza that I eat most is probably out on the highway.
Okay.
Pizza Villa.
That's funny. I used to love Pizza Villa. Loved it. You know, 25 years ago.
I haven't had it recently, but it's the other pizza that I eat.
Do you remember there was a pizza place that was next to Marshall's?
Yes.
What was that called?
Bona?
Bona Pizza.
They're on Longneck.
Yeah, they're out in Longneck. I love that pizza, too. Something about that oil. You know, the problem is if you have a real oily pizza, you're using, what, really authentic cheese or really authentic pepperoni?
Usually,
the more authentic, the oilier it is, the messier it is.
Usually.
And you guys can put, like, if I get a pepperoni pizza, I mean, there's, like, a pepperoni on every square inch.
That's why it's oily.
Yeah, and then that's why you have so much oil plus the great cheese. It's just, it's delicious. I can't wait to have my first piece of Louis. We haven't been down to the boardwalk yet, but we're ready. But yeah, back to the thing, you know, you're just that guy, you know, a couple years ago I was doing drones and I was like, you know, I was doing this vlog with the drones. I got a drone. I'm like, of course you have a drone. Do you still have it?
I still do. Yes.
Do you fly it?
Not as often as I'd like because I don't have the time. So I had many drones.
Yeah. What do you, did you?
I sold the big one.
You did?
I did because someone needed it more than I do.
Who was that? Rob?
Reno. Do you know Reno?
Uh-uh.
He's the, I can't get the word out.
He's the...
Social media guy for the Crooked Hammock.
Oh, there it is.
Social media guy. And he needed my big Inspire 1 because he was going to do commercial stuff with it. So I sold it to him. And he's a friend of my brother's. And that's how that worked out.
I think the days of the drones are ending.
Are they? Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
I flew, so I have my Altel up here. That drone, when I first got my drone, or when I first got into the drones, I bought, that was my first one. And I could do a lot with that drone. I mean, I could literally, you know, from the salon, I could fly it over to those cornfields across Route 1.
Right.
And farther, really. Now, if I fly that drone, it doesn't make it to the pond without losing connection.
Really?
So I think they're, you know... There's people that are out there that are flying these things over airliners, just breaking all the rules. And I think these companies, if they want to stay in business, are having to basically write inside the software, you know, limiting how far they can get away from you.
So your updates have limited it.
I think so. And I used to have, the best drone I ever had was the Mavic Pro. That drone was sweet. And it died and landed in top of a tree. And I just don't feel like spending another $1,000 on it. So I bought the Mavic Air, whatever that thing is.
Spark?
No, it's not the Spark. It's the Mavic, I don't know what it is, but it's a good drone, but same thing. Loses contact. With that Mavic, I used to be able to fly. I mean, I have videos. I mean, that thing miles away flying. And that's, you know, that's not what they suggest you do.
Right.
They want it to be within eyesight. But, you know, guys like me, I guess, ruined it. But now, you know, you can't really fly very far. And
I wonder what they're going to do with the drones in the future. Figures.
Well, they're probably just use drones for what you're supposed to use them for. You know, aerial photography, small scenes. But these roaming, flying. I did this one drone, one vlog where I flew basically over by the country club across the marsh, through the trees, over the marsh, over these other trees, out through the bay. I mean, it was just this one long, continuous flight. It was amazing. I'll show it before you leave. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Right.
I think they shut that down.
I know when I went to fly them in Rehoboth, they gave me a lot of grief right off the bat.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway.
Well, did you see? So 2-3 years ago, I flew my drone for the 4th of July. And there was no drones. This past 4th of July down in Rehoboth, there must have been 6 drones up in the air. Did you notice them?
No, I didn't see them.
Yeah, they're up there. Because, you know, that's what we do now. We fly these drones.
Sure, why should they?
But There's people that are out there flying them, like, over, you know, there's one guy, you see the airline go right under the drone.
Really? I didn't see that.
And then I think even just recently a drone hit, a plane hit a drone. You know, didn't bring the plane down, thank God, but definitely destroyed the drone.
Wow.
So I remember taking my DJI drone up to Pfeiffer's Orchard. It's not Dover. It's outside of Dover. And when I first realized that this kind of stuff was being able to be done, the drone wouldn't fly there because that's all restricted airspace because of the base. The drone wouldn't fly. It went up, and it would go, you know, like a quarter of a mile an hour. I mean, it was literally a flying hovering camera. That was it. And that was because of that airspace.
So it knew.
It knew.
Wow.
It did. Did you ever try getting your drone license?
I did.
Did you get it?
Well, I have a little tag, everything.
So did you do the class and then pass the AF?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't go that far.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, what'd you do?
I got the original before they passed that law.
Uh-huh.
I was the first to get the little, paid the $5, whatever that was.
Mm. No, I'm talking about the class.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
So
did you do that?
I did. You know Rob Waters?
Yeah.
So Rob and I went and took the test, or we went and took the class. It was probably 6 weeks. And I took the test and I failed it. I got a 60. What did I get, a 68 out of 70? You needed a 70, and I got a 68. But what I learned from that is that what I like to do with a drone is never going to be legal. There isn't a license you can get to do what I used to like to do with the drone, which is fly big distances out across the water and, you know, these, you know, that's the stuff I like doing. Okay. Right away, that's breaking the law. You know, if it's out of sight, you're breaking the law. It needs to be within, you know, a visual connection. But what I also learned is that this license is almost for, like, if I was going to take this drone and fly it to Oklahoma City, you know, where I would need to, you know, have a flight plan, calculate my path, determine what flight or what class airspaces I'm going to be crossing, make the contacts with the people, because that's really what the class is about, teaching you about different classes of airspace, where you can fly. But I didn't do any of that with my drone. You know, I wasn't on long distance.
That sounds more like commercial or movie.
Well, it's basically a pilot's license.
Right.
You know,
that's what it is. It's basically a pilot's license without flying.
Right. But to me, it was
ridiculous.
I mean, I think the class was great. I learned a lot about airspace and I learned how to read like maps and I mean, all that was great. But, I don't think it was, to me, it felt like a money grab, really. Mm. It just felt like, you know, some bureaucratic BS just trying to grab money. And then you had to take the test every 2 years. And I barely could remember I couldn't even pass it. So I was like, well, Jesus, I'm not going to go back and pass it and then probably have to retake it in 2 years and forget. Wow. And not really use any of this because I'm not, you know, I thought at the time, I was like, well, maybe I'll start a little drone business, but I don't have time for that.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see where droning goes.
I'm definitely interested to see where it goes. Because, you know, a lot of them are selfie now, you know, where they fly and follow you.
Well,
I'm wondering if that's going to take off somehow.
Well, and then you can use hand gestures, you know.
Right.
I think you can actually do that with that drone up there, that DJI drone. But what I started getting into a little bit more is just doing photography with the drone, just from the sky. And that's been fun, but I'm still, last year I flew that little drone across the street. There was a cool pond that's kind of hidden in the trees, and I got some great shots of it from the sky and the reflections. It was beautiful. I tried to fly the Altel over there the other day, and it wouldn't even go, and it kept disconnecting. And then I get freaked out because, you know, you have to determine the height for the thing to come back at. If you haven't picked a high enough height, it'll drive right into a tree. So, and when I lost the DJI a couple years ago, it was such a horrible experience. I'm just nervous. Yeah. It was weird. The battery ended and it landed in a tree. I got a new drone to fly up to look down to see if maybe I could figure out a plan to get it. And it was so sketchy just looking down at the tree from a flying drone that I was like, forget it. I'm staying away from the tree because you just don't want to. It's $1,000. You don't want to lose a drone up in a tree. Have you lost one?
No, never lost. I've crashed one and broken it, but never lost it completely.
So what do you like doing with the drones?
Basically, I was just flying them and trying to take pictures, but I've never flown them enough to really get into anything.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the state park, I went to the beach, and then I ended up selling the big one before I really got into it. Because what I was going to do with it was kind of commercial work. Because I was working
with Like a job.
I was working with this friend of mine who's a motivational speaker. And I was doing videography for him, taking, you know, his videos. And he says, hey, why can't we get a drone and do some drone work? And I was going to buy the, what was it? At the time was the Inspire.
Yeah.
But.
That's a big drone for, I mean, that might have been too much.
Not the Inspire.
Drone.
I'm sorry. The Mavic. The one you had. I'm
was
sorry,
it the Mavic or was it the.
The Pros hadn't come out yet. The new ones hadn't come out yet.
All right.
They would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Because the
It's kind of like shaped like that one.
Yeah. Yes. And. He ended up changing his routine. So he warned me. He says, hey, don't buy that Mavic. He goes, I'm not getting the work that I was getting. So, and then I got busy with the restaurant because we changed management. Now I'm working more, so I don't work with him as much. So it worked out.
Is he still a motivational speaker?
Yes.
We have him on the podcast.
Yeah. He's a local. That's not a local anymore. He lives in Ohio.
What's his name?
John Davis.
John Davis, I wonder if I know.
He's my age.
How old are you?
I'm 55.
I'm 51.
Okay.
Well, I'm not 51. I'm 50. I'm going to be 51 in September.
Okay.
I tend to do that. I round up.
Yeah. Calls himself the action hero. That's his catchphrase.
Action hero?
The action hero. Now, motivational speaker. What's his... I'm trying to think of his website.
Does he ever come back to Rehoboth?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Oh, we'll have to try to get him on.
Yeah, oh, he'd love to do the podcast.
So, you know, when I saw you the other day, you looked, well, you weren't feeling well, but, you know, you just were like, I just don't feel good. So I started to, I'm gonna save you. I'm saving your life, Tim. And you're like, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. So I started doing this program called Just Supper.
Yes.
So I only eat Just Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's changed my life. Now, I'm not saying it's not a diet. I'm not saying it's what we do forever. I think it's more of like a nutritional reset. Start to understanding why you're eating at all. I don't know how you eat. I don't know. I just know that you looked unhappy. And you look like you're ready to make some changes. Whether you want to do this or not is up to you. But I know for me, I just had to find out. I had to get back in touch with why I eat at all. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of eating?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good question. For me?
Well, it's the reason we eat should be for everybody.
It should be for everybody, right? It should be, I guess, just to survive, to sustain ourselves, not to...
It's fuel.
Fuel, yeah.
It's fuel for your vehicle. You're a vehicle. I always say I'm this... You know, 15-year-old kids stuck inside a 50-year-old vehicle.
But we do enjoy food, though, right? A little bit?
Absolutely. So what I've learned, and I think you should try this. I'm challenging you to do this for 1 week.
Okay.
Just supper.
Just supper.
No breakfast, no lunch, just supper.
Okay.
You can eat whatever you want between 7 and midnight. If you choose to eat a truckload of food, then...
Do it.
Do it. If you choose to try to really figure out why you're eating, do that as well, but... I learned that I had a relationship with breakfast. I had a relationship with lunch. I had a relationship with a lot of snacking. I used it to for emotions. I used it as a transition to transition from, like, you know, maybe in the past I'd have done a podcast and then afterwards I need to have a snack. My blood sugar's low or whatever, and eat. And then, hey, Tim, come on in while I'm chewing. And just a transition, just like... The thought, you know, like of, you know, a one-on-one conversation with one person and then another one-on-one conversation with another person was just too much. I just needed a snack. You know, it's like it just helped me. I'm not a psychologist, so I couldn't exactly tell you what was going on. I just know that when I stopped it, I really missed it. Like, oh, like the relationship, you know, I'd say, oh, you know, you got to eat breakfast, the most important meal. But I used to love picking out blueberries. I used to love the oatmeal. I'd have the microwave, the process. It was a whole thing. It was mm-hmm. like a courtship with this bowl of stuff.
Right.
And so the first week that I started doing this, it was sad. It was a breakup. And I shouldn't say the first week, the first day. But after the first couple of days, I was like, okay, well, the breakup's over. She's gone. You know, I'm fine. And then I started realizing just how much food I was eating because of that, you know, a transition. And not because I was hungry or that my vehicle needed some fuel. And now with the Just Supper, just doing my Just Supper, I pay attention to what I eat. Last night we had chicken, vegetables, mashed potatoes and gravy. That was it. But, nice vegetables, great chicken. I'm like, I need what those vegetables have to offer. Now, yesterday was a little different because my in-laws brought us a rotisserie chicken that we ended up eating. But usually what I like to do is I like to cook a steak, you know, with steamed broccoli, baked potato. Because I'm like, I'm interested in what that broccoli has to offer me. You know, what's in that skin of that potato? There's vitamins in it. You know, steak is just, it's like the ultimate protein, really. I'm curious. I want what it has. Before I'd be like, you know, are you hungry? Yeah. Well, what do you want to eat? I don't care. Well, maybe I'll, you know, make a quesadilla. Just something to chew on, whether I was hungry or not, just to do it. And it's really opened my eyes to fueling my vehicle.
I'll give it a shot.
You're down.
I'm down.
Have you eaten today?
No.
Want to start today?
I'm gonna start today.
So you can eat anything you want after 7?
After 7. It'll be perfect, because after this I'm going to work, and I usually don't eat when I'm at work.
But when you...
Snack at work.
And the other thing is, though, you can't talk about it all week.
Okay. I don't say anything to anyone. Well, I don't talk to anybody.
I don't eat. I don't talk to anybody. I don't talk to anybody.
Well, no, I do. I talk to my employees, but I don't talk about food. It's funny. I used to years ago, not recently. The past couple of years I haven't, but I used to eat my food a lot, and I was very overweight. And then I stopped, not because I didn't like it, but because, like you said.
You were overweight.
I was overweight. It didn't give me anything.
Well, and it's right there.
It was right there.
I mean, you're like, two for you, one for me.
I'm very fortunate, though, in that my mother cooks for me while I'm working. Because she's retired and she has nothing else to do.
Is she upstairs?
No, she's in a house about a block and a half away.
Nice.
And she'll call me while I'm working. She says, are you working? I'm like, yep. She goes, I'm going to cook. I'm like, okay. So she brings me nice Greek meals.
Well, so just have for supper this week.
That's what she'll do.
But, you know, people will say, you know, they'll go, oh, I need... You know, I wake up in the morning, breakfast, the most important meal. You know, you're really not, you know, grabbing the nutrition and energy from the dinner that you ate the night before until, you know, the morning. You know, it hasn't digested. It's not like the food hits your tongue and all of a sudden you're pulling the energy and stuff out of it. It's got to digest. It's got to get into your intestines and start doing its magic. And then you start, you know, living on that fuel. So... You know, one thing about just doing the Just Supper is that in the morning, you know, people say, well, how can you run? And I'm like, I'm running on my dinner. I mean, that was the energy. That's what I'm getting now. It's, you know, it's had its chance to digest. And now that's what I'm getting. And I don't know the science about all this. This is just, I'm guessing. But it's how I feel. You know, I feel it. And I had eggs this morning. I'm starting to adjust. I'm starting to eat a little bit more. Because it isn't, I don't want to just eat supper for the rest of my life.
Right.
I like to eat food. I do like the relationship. I just needed to take a hard look at it. And now where, you know, nuts and all this junk that I thought I definitely needed, I realize I do not need. But we also at the same time have to eat. You know, someone was telling me earlier, oh, you know, 7 little meals and you know, you become so hungry because you're just, your engine's just constantly running and, you know, I don't want to not have that, but at the same time, I needed a reset. And that's what this is. It's a reset.
A little bit of fasting there. That's good.
Or is it fasting or is it getting back to basics?
Maybe it's getting back to basics.
Well, I was just talking about this with the guy that just left. You know, when did we become entitled for so much food? You know, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. Let me get a sausage, egg, and cheese. You know, where, you know, 500 years ago, we'd have to gather, hunt, or whatever it is, and suffer and struggle and, you know, have our ups and downs, whether it was catching something or missing it or, you know, but a lot of back to basic kind of stuff where now we just, let me get a sandwich because my stomach made a noise.
Right.
And now we're like, oh, let me just, you know, we don't. This guy was saying that, you know, our body's designed to feed on two different things, glucose, which we make when we eat, and then fat. And the body's designed to go back and forth. You know, if times are good and we're getting food and, you know, when we eat, it turns it to glucose and we get that quick energy. But when times are lean, we rely on the fat that we store on our body. But what's happened is that we've become so much different food is available to us that we're only living on the glucose side. We're not, you know, like, oh, I'm hungry. Let me just grab a bite. Where you don't say, oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to suffer, you know, kind of feel that pain and that kind of go through it while my body feeds on the fat that I've stored so nicely.
Right.
So we've become, when we're supposed to be eating our fat, which we keep getting fatter, when we're not letting that happen and we're supplying it with more of a glucose, quick energy kind of
right.
food.
And the fat's just staying there.
And the fat's just staying there. You know, our body doesn't know. To our body, it's just backup. You know, if we were 1,000 years ago, you know, if we had a little more fat on us, we'd be, you know, probably, I think a skinnier, leaner person would probably be thought less of, you know.
Right.
Like, oh, this guy, yeah. It's good for nothing.
Good for nothing.
Carry the flag. Swing the flag, bro.
That's it.
So what's going on with you? What's the latest? So we are
what? Latest?
We're like days away from Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend.
Does this give you anxiety?
A little bit.
Does it? Still.
Still.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, let's see. Myself, since I was 13, 40 years.
Mm. What happened to that place? Who was the Greek people that were next to you at one time?
Oh, that was Tony. Tony yeah. and his son. And
what was the name of it?
Tony Surf and Sand.
But what was their name, their last name?
Oh, are you ready for this? Haji Nicolau.
Yes. What happened?
They retired, moved on.
Well, but isn't the young son, is he still around?
Billy, yeah.
Billy.
He moved, he just didn't want to take over. He owned real estate and...
Is he still around?
He's not in Delaware. I think he's in Wilmington or Pennsylvania.
I worked
there. I think he has a restaurant in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he has a diner or something. Yeah.
So they just didn't want to continue with it.
No. And then he did
something.
I felt
like you guys were kind of like, your families were kind of
We knew
parallel.
Each other, but yeah.
You weren't friends?
Oh, we knew each other. I mean, we were friendly, but you know.
Not bros.
Not bros.
Not bros. What's up, bro? So 40 years, and we're coming on Memorial Day, and they still get you a little freaked out.
A little bit. Well, you know, it's the tension of, are the employees ready?
Is that what gives you the most stress?
Yeah,
employees?
The employees. Yeah, because especially when they're new, are they going to handle the pressure?
Do you have all new employees this year?
I have all new employees this year.
All of them,
except for the servers. The servers are veterans.
It's kind of like stripping, and you know, you get stuck into that server.
Yeah,
it's quick money. Good money, and then the next thing you know, you're 40 years old, and you're still a veteran.
You're still a veteran, but they know what they're doing. That's good. I got that. The dining room is handled. Now the kitchen, we'll see. But my brother will be there, so that'll be good.
What's your brother's name?
Tony.
Another Tony.
Another Tony.
It's a very Tony down there.
Yeah.
I like your brother. He's a nice guy. Yeah. You don't see. It's either you're down there or he's down there.
Usually, yeah, we switch.
But I usually don't see both of you down.
No, on the weekend we'll both be there.
So, I mean, the good thing is your location's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's right on the boardwalk.
It's right on the boardwalk, yeah.
So, with global warming, do you feel like the beach is shrinking?
The pizza?
The beach.
Oh, the beach. I thought you said the pizza. I had to figure that one out.
Global warming, do you feel the pizza is shrinking?
It's hard to tell. It's definitely shrank. Since I was a little kid, yes, it has shrank. Is that a right? Was that the right word? Shrink?
Shrink.
Shrink.
Sure.
Yeah. It's gotten smaller, but they're trying their best to prevent it.
Well, someone was saying that they keep it in sand. We replenish the whole beach, all the sand on the beach every year. And I was like, I didn't think so. I thought like maybe Rehoboth 1 year. I know the 1 year that they replenished the sand, it was with this real coarse sand. And I don't
Nobody
really
liked it.
No.
Everybody complained.
I think it's still coarse, isn't it?
I think it is, but now they changed it. They brought different sand in from another area.
But they also they changed the angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little sketchy too, because there was a few neck injuries that year.
Oh, really?
Well, because you know, it was steep, and it was really, you know, you would walk down, just made for a real aggressive wave, I think. And but yeah, I mean,
I'd like to see what's going to happen if I'm still here. And well, let's see, if I'm 55, let's say I make it another 30, 40 years, that'd be great.
Yeah.
95, 100, and I like to see if the beach is still there, if my property is still there.
How old's your dad?
He's 80.
And he still hangs out?
Oh, my God, he's great at 80. He works 5 hours a day.
What? I mean, if he's like my dad, he's always got some old story or tale.
Yes, every day he has a story to tell.
Back in my day, I mean, how much better was it back in his day?
How was it different in his day? It was, well, the attitudes were different. As far as the people, the employees were different. The people, customers were a little different. Bathing suits were different. Bikinis were nicer.
Back then?
It was the 60s and the 70s, you know, in the 80s. Yeah, bathing suits were different.
Well, can you imagine in the 20s when it was like a full suit?
Oh, my God,
a full wool suit.
Now, he wasn't around then, but, I mean, he was around in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And but he was in a different restaurant. Louis Pizza opened in 74, and I actually remember that.
And he just decided he wanted to open a pizza place?
Yeah, what happened was he had George's Lunch, which is where Thrasher's is now, mm-hmm. next to us. And my great-uncle George owned that property. And there was also my father's cousins who were not involved in the business, but they were, you know, my uncle's closest relatives. And my uncle said to my father, I'll lease you the business, but I can't will it to you. The property will go to your cousins. Mm. My father said, no problem. I don't want your property. I just want long leases so I can make my fortune and establish something in the future for mm-hmm. family. Because he didn't have a family then. So my uncle gave him long 20-year leases. And 1967 came around, and my great uncle got into a car accident and died.
Mm.
And the lease at the time was going to expire in 1974.
Mm.
So from 67 to 74, my father knew he had to do something.
Because I'm sure they wanted to cash out.
Yeah, well, the relatives were going to take over in 74.
Right.
They wanted it. So he had whatever that was, 67 to 74. How many years that is?
Seven.
7 years, right. So at the time, he had a customer, Mr. Johnson, who owned the building that Louis is in now. It was a clothing store. And he says, hey, Louis, he goes, I'm going to retire in a couple years. Buy my building. I'm going to move to Florida. So my father spent those last couple years. It was probably in the 70s, I think, when Mr. Johnson said that to Louis. And he scrounged up the money, got a loan. It was tough. $54,000 is what he paid for the building
mm.
in 1968. And
$54,000
he paid for that building.
I wonder what that building's worth now.
Millions. I don't even know. It's ridiculous. It's way over inflated for such a small space. It's only 24 by 48.
Yeah.
It's the size of that property. But the fact that it's the fourth store from the ocean next to Dolly's,
I get it. I'm not sure I get it, though. I mean, I get it.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, I understand where it's located and why it should be. But really, I don't know what else they could do with it except for what you do with it.
Exactly.
Pizza. That's a lot. When you appraise it's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, it's a lot of pizza. But when you appraise it, they appraise the buildings at, like Dolly's, I heard, was worth $15 million.
Mm.
And they claim it's the most expensive piece of commercial real estate for its per square inch in Delaware.
And that's just kind of luck, right? And I love Dolly's. They have delicious popcorn.
Yeah, so basically he moved in 68, and he bought it in 68, and then told...
So your dad bought it?
Bought it in 68, told the tenant in 74, I'm taking it over.
So you guys own the building?
Own the building.
Oh, well, look at you. It's nice.
That's why we're still there, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if do you feel like it seems like a lot of businesses are struggling in Rehoboth?
A lot of the ones, because the rents are so high, and a lot of it is, I don't want to knock people, but some people come into this area not knowing what they're doing.
Well, I mean, look, isn't that funny? If a business fails and you criticize or critique, you're knocking them. You know, you failed. You know,
Some of them come to us or other successful businesses, and they ask, you know, what's your secret? And we tell them, well, there's one secret, especially when you're new. Watch your business. Stay there. Don't, if you're the owner or the working management partner, don't walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you hire. You must watch your business.
Yeah.
And they don't. And they walk away. And they hire a bunch of people. They think that they know what they're doing. And then the businesses end up failing. And then they come back and they say, oh, we got ripped off, or some story of how their business failed because it was mismanaged. Not because their model didn't work or their idea didn't work. It's because the help didn't do what they wanted.
Well, and there's also like ego. You know, if you're at home and you're cooking a pizza and your family goes, you know what, Tim, that's the most delicious pizza in the world I've ever had. And you're like, you know what? If that's the case, I think I should open a pizza place. Well, you know, it's subjective, I guess.
Subjective is
but funny. You know, I was just driving, I have so many examples, and I hate using them because I feel like I'm always using them, but this one that was down here, Toot to Sweet, was another example. You know, they came in, they probably made some kick-ass pastry at their house. Everyone said, oh my God, you should own your own place. So then they decide to, and then the sign is painted in fine print, Toot to Sweet, and this fine, first of all, I don't even know what Toot to Sweet meant. Obviously, it was something about pastries or sweets, but if I'm having to think, we've already got too many steps involved.
Exactly.
And I was driving down Savannah Road yesterday, and I look over and it says, best haircut. What's it? It's a barber. Best haircut. I think that's what it's called. Best haircuts barber. And Matt used to always say, you know, the perfect sign for like if you're selling hamburgers should say best hamburgers or best dinner or amazing crab cakes. You know,
right.
Everything else is ego. You know, the decorations and the printing, you know, all the stuff that goes into it. But, you know, best pizza ever. You know, that's the perfect sign. And, you know, these people, they struggled because there was too much ego, too much, you know, there wasn't a lot of give. Right. They just wanted to take, and they believed they should have been in Lewis. And so it was a lot of issues. So I feel like if you think you're going to build a restaurant because you make the most amazing crab cake, it's going to be tough. If you want to just provide a nice place for people to eat at a nice, reasonable price every day consistently, then you should get into the restaurant business. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We struggled. My father and mother worked for 5 years in the beginning when they opened.
Right.
And they were in there working and struggling and trying to push the product and working, getting it right. My father said those first 5 years were tough.
Well, even like McDonald's, I think I watched the special for the guy that Kronk or Ray Kronk or whatever his name was. But, you know, McDonald's, when he started selling his franchise, he would only sell franchises to a couple. You know, the husband worked in the kitchen and the mother worked up in the front counter. You know, it was a team. Chick-fil-A is the same way. They, you know, it's got to be the whole family has to be in. You know, you can't just be, you know, one person works at the restaurant, another person has a different job. It's a family job. And, you know, I think that that's probably why they had some success, probably why your father had success. Your mom was right there.
In the beginning. And then I came in when I was 13. And then my brother eventually came in as well, quit his other job that he had. And because my father, I remember that when I was a partner with my father, he asked, he goes, can your brother come in? I'm like, I'm going to say no. Of course he can come in. You know, he's...
Now, did you have a famous recipe for a pizza, or did you just make a pizza?
He came up with it. He came up with the famous recipe. He worked on it those first couple years. That and his... It's funny. They call that... It's a Greek thing. The sauce.
Mm.
The sauce is the secret. It's the spices that they put in
there. The gravy.
The gravy, yeah. And the cheese blend is also kind of a secret, too.
Well, and I'm definitely not here to pry any secrets out of you.
I can tell you what's in it. I mean, I just can't.
No, but I mean, so, and there's like, the other day I was talking to Sam and we were talking about going to get pizza and he goes, I don't like this pizza place because the cheese pulls off. Like, the cheese literally pulls from the pizza.
From the pizza. That's too much sauce.
Too much sauce. But I feel like the cheese also solidifies pretty quickly into, like, it either goes from, it just becomes non-stretchable.
Right.
Like, you need a bite and be able to pull some cheese away instead of the whole thing becoming almost like a shield, like a crust layer, and it just pulls off. So there's a lot of things that go into pizza.
Right.
Flavor, obviously, is one, but just how the pizza, you know, if it's soggy in the middle consistently, I mean, it's a whole thing.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
Break it down.
That would happen to the big guy if he didn't do it the opposite. He puts the cheese on first and puts the sauce on top. If he put the sauce first and put his cheese on top, that would happen to his pizza.
Oh, are you talking about GR?
Yes. Mm. That would happen to his pizza, but he doesn't. He's smart. He puts his cheese first and puts the sauce on top. And the cheese binds to the dough. And that's why it doesn't pull off.
Well, he also does it in circular fat. He has breakaway layers.
Yeah.
It breaks away, you know, like quadrants, you know, because he does it in the, like a...
Somebody spilled their beans and said that that saves him some ridiculous amount of money every year in sauce.
I can't imagine that he thought like that, though, in the beginning. I'm sure it was just... Because he was just like everybody else.
I'm get in trouble for saying that.
To who?
Oh, well.
What, that it saves him money? What business owner hasn't made a move to try to save the business money?
True.
I mean, but that's business.
We've never, skimped. In other words, you know how they say you can always raise your prices but never degrade your product?
Right.
I've never done that. I've never skimped. People have accused us of that.
Yeah, but you've also only kept one location.
Right.
How many people have asked you to open another location?
Oh, many, many times.
I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, all the people want me to open another location. Then you open one, and then maybe not as many people come. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, listen, a little lighter on the sauce. Yo, 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 lighten up on that cheese, man. Well, because isn't that how it is?
Well, no, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't. We've entertained that idea if we opened up a second spot, but it wouldn't be a second spot like Louis. It would be more of a delivery, carry out, something probably on Route 1 if we ever did anything like that. But you also know that that would happen. If you opened up a second location, you're going to lose business from your first location because customers that normally would come from the highway or somewhere would no longer come to your...
Right.
But you can't skimp on your product.
No. And I'm saying that's, I think...
That's what
I don't think any business that skimps on their product initially planned on it.
Right.
You know, it's like, unless somebody like big corporation was pulling their money out of it.
Exactly. Big corporations come in and they reevaluate everything. They're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to now... portion control everything.
I would eat at Louis. I won't eat out anymore. I don't eat out anymore. I'll definitely will come down and eat at Louis, but I don't eat out. I don't eat at restaurants. I don't like any restaurants anymore.
Hmm.
I'm just over it. It's just Matt used to say, you know, if you complain about food, there was a guy that came in here the other day. He goes, I'm going to write a op-ed or something like that. And I'm like, oh, really? What? He goes, well, I feel like there's a, you know, this underlying plan that, you know, that the restaurants are hiking the prices up and they don't care about us. And I go, Matt used to say, they don't. They don't care about you. They care about you in the winter. But, you know, Blue Coast does not care about, well, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, they want the visitor. The restaurants are built for visitors that come down here and spend a week down with their family and they want a place to eat, you know. That's what they come down here for. When you go visit or when I go on vacation somewhere, you know, money is really no option. I mean, I don't live like that, but, you know, I'm not going to bicker over a couple bucks for a cinnamon bun or something. You know, it's vacation, and that's what those restaurants are for. You know, if you want to be considered or be thought of, you know, look at them in the winter when they do specials and stuff like that. But I can make better food at home. I can.
True.
What do you, I mean, do you eat out a lot?
No.
No. It's tough.
It's tough. Down here, it's tough.
And I mean, we went to a restaurant on Friday to, I'm not going to even say the name, but it was terrible. The food was terrible. And it was, we got a steak, this $30 steak, and the steak sucked. Wow. It was terrible. I can buy steaks at Fresh Market.
I make good steaks. I bet you make good steaks.
Well, salt, pepper, and little Worcestershire.
That's it. Yeah.
Why get complicated?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. And you get them from a good place, too. I get them from Fresh Market as well.
Who do you know the butcher's guy?
No, I don't. I never.
So there's a young guy that works there. Enough, so. There's a young guy that works there. His name's Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice guy. And then there's George.
Okay.
He's the older guy. Almost seems like his father. And then there's Gene over at the sugar department. Hey, Gene. For my wife, of course. But yeah, I mean, I can make better food. Not even knocking the big ones. I mean, even like a Ruby Tuesdays or a, you know, Fridays or whatever they are. It's just crap. The food is crap. But not Lily's Pizza.
No, I care about my place. That's why I don't try not to flip out on my employees when they don't do things the way, but I get a little upset when things aren't done right.
Well, you have delicious pizza, and I've always considered Louis to be, to me, my favorite pizza. Now, I will say, you know, I've tried a couple other ones, one that's a little bit down the street from you. I always used to get they do a special kind of pizza, which I always loved. I think it's delicious. I never really gave much thought to their regular pizza, but I've gone down there and Louis wasn't open.
It happens now, yeah. Oh, we have new hours now? We're staying later?
Well, this was on Polar Bear Plunge.
Oh, that was a technical difficulty.
Yes.
I know. Sorry.
It's like, we'll be open at 10. I was like, nice. Let's get ready for some
news. I had technical difficulties this year. That was the first time that's ever happened to me.
Well, it's okay. It's no big deal, but I was forced to go somewhere else.
Okay, I understand.
And it was delicious. And I was like, I didn't realize this was so good.
Yeah, they're good. I like them as well.
You do?
I love them.
Oh, my God.
I love them.
Well, you know what? And I like the idea of us everybody helping one another. You know, the premise of this podcast, the premise of me doing this was just about one business helping another. I don't want to feel like I can't mention another business because, honestly, in this town, we all have to really look out for
one
another. And
we help each other. We, as businesses, we help each other. We call each other.
Right.
Can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? We help each other all the time.
Always got to be helping. And I love that. That's what I love most about this town.
We're very community. Yep.
Well, and you know, if you go out of this town, if you go up to Philly, my wife and I went up to the mall the other day, and oh my God, it was freaking chaos up there. You know, we're really blessed to have a great town, and you know, we have a lot of people coming in, especially for the holiday, and mm-hmm. it gets crazy. But we have a great skeleton. You know,
yes,
we got a great foundation, and you know, the guy that was here before you, he's got so much going on, but he's all about small town, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you lived here? All your life?
My entire life.
Born here?
Born a baby? Actually, what happened was they were en route, so I ended up...
They were en route?
I was en route somewhere.
You're a highway baby.
I was born at Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah, so my birth didn't happen in BB, but I was here. My mother was in George's Lunch, 9 months pregnant.
It's funny how this... You know, this town was definitely a summer town. And how...
Always, yeah.
I think I moved here in 94, and I really feel like 94, maybe 97, 90, I don't even know. But at some point, it started... more people started living down here year-round. And, I mean, what do you... Do you even leave Rehoboth in the summer? I mean, how often are you out here?
No, you're right. I don't even come out here.
Right.
I don't even leave the town in the summertime.
You just stay...
I stay right in town. I go to the store, I go home, I go to the store, I go home, that's it.
Do you still live over by where Matt used to live? Where do you live?
Bay Vista. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can...
I've
always had like this daydream, like living in Rehoboth and only just driving around on a scooter.
I did. I lived in Rehoboth town proper for about 11 years. But it was the house that belonged to the family. And then my... we have the apartment above Louis, And my brother wanted to take that over. And we have a house on Brooklyn Avenue. So as my parents aged, they couldn't go up and down the stairs to the apartment as much. So they moved to Brooklyn Avenue. My brother took over the apartment, and I moved to Bay Vista, bought a house in Bay Vista.
So is your brother still in the apartment?
He only stays there in the summer. He lives in Pennsylvania in the winter. He's the only non-resident.
So is it just like a place you can just kind of go up and regroup?
Exactly. In the summertime, I go up there because it's actually my address. I have that on my driver's license, the apartment.
The apartment?
Yeah.
It's funny. If you're in Rehoboth, I love Rehoboth. If I'm not in Rehoboth, I hate getting into Rehoboth. You know, it's just like, you know, it's always something.
It's something, exactly.
But I used to live at Henlopen Station. That's when I met you and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool because I could kind of get into town. It wasn't right downtown, but it was definitely close enough where it wasn't a big deal to ride your bike in.
Oh, it was perfect for riding a bike in.
But now that I live out here, you know, we still go in. We love taking the kids down to get Louis and going on the bandstand. And one of the things, and I was just talking about this, one of the things that I thought was nice that they're doing, they did last year, they've always done it, but I really felt like they did a great job with it, was riding the DART bus in for the 4th of July.
Yeah, how was that?
It was perfect. I mean, it was almost too perfect because I think we got home at like 9:30 or 10. You know, it was like
really.
Yeah, we grabbed the bus at the new place that's up there by Lowe's, or down there by Lowe's. And I think the one funny thing I remember was like $4.43 or something to ride the bus. It wasn't even like I didn't have the pennies. It was right. Like that weird. And but we jumped on the bus. The bus rode the bus lane right all the way down. Got right into Rehoboth, dropped us off at the Henlopen. I think we walked down, maybe had a drink at a restaurant, sat, you know, until 9 or 9:15 or whatever it was. Got on the beach. I had never done that. In the all the years that I've lived here, I'd never sat on the beach. I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm doing that. Just too many people. And it's, you remember how it was to try to get out of Rehoboth?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah.
And we watched the fireworks, got right on the bus. Bus went right out. I was home like by 9:45. I'm like, now what? I think we got home and wow. Watched the fireworks on TV.
That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that the town was having a shortage of people, but maybe, you know, the weird thing is I didn't really feel like there was a lot of people down there for 4th of July last year.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way either. You're right.
It's a little strange. It was strange. But maybe with these, you know, these new buses.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe it'll help. I don't know. I'm sure by the end of the summer, you're done with pizza, regardless. Summers are long.
Summers are long. Well, it's interesting. Our seasons are like 3 months and 3 months. We got the 3 months at the beginning, spring, the 3 months right in the middle of summer, and then the 3 months in the fall.
I love it, like eating Louis and wearing Uggs. I just love fall,
it's you know, great,
when,
isn't it?
You know, the around that. When do you guys close after Halloween?
Actually, we usually stretch it into December.
Yeah, probably after like Christmas, right?
Yeah.
The tree lighting, that's
tree
a whole
lighting,
thing.
Yeah, I do that. I do the tree lighting, and that's a big weekend for me.
That's a big weekend, yeah.
Yeah. You come down for that, right?
I have. I'd like to. It's just, you know, one day at a time, you know, one day, you know, you never know what's going to go on.
You play it right here, right?
Yeah. But I know that we used to go down for the Halloween thing, and that's become too much. Too many kids. It was like, I remember we're just like in this long line of people just getting candy, free candy. And I'm like, you know, this is weird.
It is weird.
It's silly.
It's very weird.
And how many people show up for it? It's just
thousands.
Freaking candy. It's just, yeah, it was just too much.
I end up spending $200-$300 in candy, and I forget how many pieces, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000, I don't know, I can't even.
Well, I'm sure the first year you're like, well, we were a little short this year.
And every year we buy more, and every year we run out.
It's like, and not everyone's very appreciative.
No.
Wonder what's up with that.
Because what it is people come from out of state.
Okay.
To bring their kids to the trick-or-treating, because it's, I guess it's safer. I don't know what they think. Or it's free candy. I don't know.
Did you ever feel as a kid growing up that it wasn't safe?
I did not when I trick-or-treated.
I mean, ever.
No.
I don't, I mean, I, Maybe I just wasn't a great kid, but I never was approached to be kidnapped. No one attempted to get me. I actually feel like we live in one of the safer times for me. I feel like it's very safe. I mean, you know, they like to talk about kids being snatched. And then, of course, I was watching the news and some lady's kid got snatched and she got thrown to the ground by this guy. Did you see that on the news?
No, I didn't see that.
Guy pulls up, steals the kid, exactly the thing that we all fear, drives off and she's running down the road. He kidnapped my child. They luckily found the child and the child was safe. But just when you think that, you know, it's all hype, then it happens. But
wow.
I just feel like we live in a really safe, maybe it's our town. Maybe it's this area.
I think it's the area. I think we do live in a pretty safe town.
We've had a big influx of people moving here, though. Do you feel the difference downtown, or do you?
Somewhat, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was driving home the other day, and it was like a traffic jam. And, you know, I was talking to Preston, and I didn't want to be like, you know, because, you know, it's not, you know, they've sold a lot of houses, but it's not by any means his fault. But our infrastructure, just the roads are just like, can you imagine coming down here and being taken down 24 to one of these great developments and you buy a house and then all of a sudden you have to drive down 24 every day?
Can you imagine?
No, I would.
Yeah.
That's awful. Or I always say, I'd rather live 5 miles down one than 50 feet down 24.
Exactly.
Because it's just a nightmare. And it's even getting worse.
It's getting worse, right.
I drove out 24 the other day, and it was a traffic jam coming, I guess, west. Is that the way they're coming? No, east. I mean, it was a traffic jam all the way out to, like, out past Peddler's Village.
No kidding.
I was like, oh, my God, can you imagine doing this every day?
And I see a couple of developments going up down there, too, I think.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, it's just miles from the beach. Yeah, miles.
That's how they're advertising them. Yeah. Miles from the beach. And hours. That's what they should. Miles and hours from the beach.
Yeah, miles and 1 mile, 5 hours from the beach.
Exactly.
Well, and I, you know, in the day, like in summer, I almost say it's almost like it's almost as bad as winter. You know, you get usually like on a Sunday, we get to the beach, you know, maybe one quick trip to the grocery store and then we go home.
Yeah.
And get in the heat or the air conditioning, right. Whatever. But, you know, it's not like we spend our day, you know, playing in the yard and stuff. It's hotter than Haiti down here sometimes.
Well, at least they'll be used to it if they're from Baltimore or, you know, those traffic jams that they have in the beltways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now they'll have the same thing when they're going to the beach.
Well, traffic is becoming interesting. But, you know, I think if you plan it and you do it correctly and try to, you know, take what you've learned from our past experiences, you know, certain times you don't want to be driving. You learn little things, you know, there used to be back roads that you could take. Now I think we've all learned. Back roads are for everybody now. I was telling Preston, I go, we should take, you know, 24 straight across, maybe on, you know, we could raise the road across that, you know, the graveyard and through the trailer park and right across the marsh, right into Lewis. Same thing with the road next to Acme, right straight across, right into Lewis, just 4-lane highways right over into Lewis. You know, let's say you wanted to go right or you could just go straight over into Lewis.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, but I guess the marsh and
can't do that.
Can't do it. I don't understand why, because we're not doing anything with it. I mean, if you made a nice raised bridge,
you could do that.
I don't know. I'll talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
So what's on your agenda for the day?
Let's see, today.
You weren't feeling well.
I'm going to go to the store, see what's going on.
At the store?
At the store, yeah.
Which store?
At the Louis.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, go to Louis.
I didn't know if you were going to go have lunch.
No. I call Louis the store. That's what we call the store. See if they need me today. See how busy it is. Go from there.
But you haven't been feeling well, so you probably need to get some rest.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming out here because I know when I talked to you yesterday, you're like, I think I have walking pneumonia. I'm like, do you want to do the podcast?
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to do this. I really wanted to do this.
What is your, because we both enjoy Joe Rogan.
Oh, I love Joe.
He does a great podcast. Do you listen to a podcast? Because I watch Joe Rogan.
No, I listen to Joe.
You do?
Yes.
You have his, do you get his up, like, oh, Joe Rogan?
Yeah, he's on, I got the bell.
Okay.
So whenever his new stuff comes in, it comes up on my feed, yeah.
What are the things that, because I've tried to find another podcast to watch. It's hard to kind of pick and choose a podcast, right?
I haven't picked any other ones. All I have is his.
Do you just, that's enough.
Now, Randy listens to, what's it called?
What's Randy doing?
She works at the King's, the bakery right there where the train station used to be.
Right. I knew she was working in Lewis. I see her like once every couple years. And hey,
and she's a an official rescuer of squirrels and other little
vermin
that fall out of trees. Yeah, aww. She got the state license for that now, so she's on the list.
Like raccoons too.
I don't know if she does raccoons, but like turtles, they call her up. She's on the list. So if you find like a fallen squirrel, you can call Randy. She'll come pick it up.
When I first moved here,
and stuff.
I found a raccoon that had been hit by a car, but he was alive. And I moved out here from California. There wasn't raccoons running around out there, so I was first of all blown away that there was an animal. But he was alive, and I remember I went over to the Dewey Police Department, and I was like, "There's a raccoon, and he's alive on the highway, just out of Dewey." And he's like, "Yeah, what do you want me to do about it?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's alive." And he goes, "Well, call the SPC or something." And so I did, but nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
Nah. Now Randy is the girl I call,
and she'll come pick it up, and then she either houses it for a couple of days, and then it gets transferred to another person, so on and so forth. Now, the squirrels she can take care of. She has all the stuff, the cages and the materials. If they're babies, she has milk. She has all that stuff.
Randy's a kid. I've known her as long as I've known you, and she is always trying something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I love Randy for that. She's like, I say, "Well, I thought you were doing this." "Yeah, but that didn't work. But I'm doing something different now." And I go, "You know what? More power to you, Randy." Mm-hmm. She's always a good spirit.
She's a good spirit, yeah. And she's doing really well now, so I'm happy for her.
Well, good. A shout out to Randy if she's listening. Probably not, but maybe we get Randy on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going
to
tell her, yeah.
But yeah, so that's interesting. Is there a phone number for that?
I believe. I don't have it. And I think she's got a website. I have to find out.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
She just got involved in this. Yeah, but that's what she's doing.
You guys are still friends?
Oh, best friends.
Do you guys play video games?
No. We actually have movie night. Every Saturday, we watch The Blacklist and Game of Thrones. And
you guys were married.
For 6 years.
It's funny. I've had a couple marriages. And my ex-wife Kathleen, her and I, we get along great. We don't have movie night, but, for considering what we went through and stuff, we've just both decided it's just better just to be friends.
Right.
Who cares about this small stuff?
Right.
And that's nice. We were laughing this morning because she yelled at me because our son got sunburned. And she's like, I had this missed call from her at 9:30, and I go, I didn't even know she called, but if I'd have seen it, I'd know she'd been probably calling to yell at me for letting him get sunburned. But you don't have to yell at me. I know. I felt bad. I felt terrible. And she goes, "Well, I just want you to know he's in a lot of pain." I go, "I knew that. I'm sorry. I've made my amends. When your kid asks you, why didn't you put sunblock on me? You're like, I'm sorry. It was foggy and cold. Who knew?
Right.
Do you like going to the beach still?
I do. If I can go to the beach, I would go to the beach, yeah.
Have you been this year?
No.
Yeah, we went Sunday. It was one of those cold, foggy, cloudy, windy, and apparently very intense as far as sun, because we all got burnt.
Right. Now, do you like going in the water?
I do.
Yeah, so do I.
I didn't the other day. It was cold.
If I can go in the water, I'll go in the water.
I mean, I love... It's funny, we just went to Mexico, and we were down in the Mexican, or Gulf of Mexico. That water, is always so nice, but it's too warm. I mean, it's beautiful. I loved it. But it was, I like a little nip in the water.
Right,
I agree. Come July and August, it's beautiful. Especially like if you go like south side over just on the other side of the inlet. My philosophy is I think the water comes into the bay, goes out of the bay, and goes left. This way. So our water down this way seems to always be a little more cloudy.
Mm.
Where if you were to the right, towards Bethany, that always seems a little cleaner and bluer. And I don't think it's not that it's dirty. It's just the silt that comes out of
right,
the bay.
Right, out of the bay, right.
Do you believe that?
I never thought about that. But I noticed that our water is a little
Siltier,
yeah.
But it's not as bad up in Rehoboth. I mean, up in like Bethany or south side of
I wonder if that's why. I mean, I normally go to the south side. I go.
I love that beach,
Tower Beach, down that. Well, on.
I'm talking about the south side of the inlet.
South side of the inlet, but that part of the inlet, and go to the ocean side. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. We, like I said, we were at the beach this weekend. I was like, I don't care. I need a beach day. I need, you know, we went to Mexico and got, you know, planned it to be tan and come back and take our tan into the summer. Well, we took our tan into the summer, but we've had some days that aren't, I mean, we've had a beautiful spring, I think, here. I mean, ideal, beautiful, but just not tanning weather. So our tan started to fade, and now I'm like, God damn it, we are going to the beach, and I'm going to get some sun. And it felt good, but the kids got burnt. The funny thing is the kids were in the water.
And they got burned.
Yeah, they got burned. But, you know, as we get older, we get too smart. That's too cold. I'll wait for another month. But the kids are like, I don't care if we're going in.
Well, that's kids for you. There you go.
Hey, I hope this podcast was everything you would hope to do.
Oh, this is great.
Will you come back?
I will.
You know, I like to have people on, establish who you are. Come back again and we'll talk, you know, you bring something to talk about. Whatever's going on in your life, if you want to. I know we could probably do a whole podcast on video games. I love.
We probably could, yeah.
I don't get to play them enough, but do you like how it's like you have to be online with everything now?
Yeah, that's the new thing now.
Do you like that?
It is a pain in the butt, but I mean, everything is. I'm not a, what do they call that? I'm a multiplayer with my friends, but I'm not a multiplayer with other people.
Right.
I don't like the.
Remember Halo? Remember the first Halo where we could like. Play with a buddy, and you could split screen, and one person played on the top level, and you played on the bottom. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Just very simple. Now very it's simple. Like you got to go into a room, you got to wait to gather folks.
And I don't like that.
I don't like that.
That's not my thing.
I used to love just playing video games. You put the cartridge in and just play.
Right.
Now it's a whole process.
It's a whole process, right. It's changed a lot.
There'll be memberships, and someone got to get that money. They spend a lot of money developing the game, so I definitely get that. But that could be a whole nother podcast.
Okay.
All right, Tim. Thanks. Hey, Louis Pizza. I'm voting Louis Pizza best pizza. I'm gonna start a pizza wall.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put one mark here for Louis.
Okay.
And who are you voting for?
Louis. I'll vote for Louis.
You can't vote for your own pizza.
Okay. I'll vote for Pizza Villa.
Love Pizza Villa.
I love Pizza Villa. I can't vote for myself, so I'll vote for Pizza Villa.
Tim, thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure.
You will be back. I hope you have an amazing summer. I'm glad you're feeling better. I will be down. We're going to come down and get some Louis as soon as we get a chance to.
Excellent.
All right, brother.
All right.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right.